views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome everyone. It's Hando Radio Show brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA region number 6. Today is January the 21st, 2019. We have a live show for you today. It is a Monday. Looking forward to bringing you that. At any time, if you'd like to give us a call at 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number for you to get in on air with us and express your thoughts, your opinions. Greatly appreciate that. Just give us a call, 704-802-5056. And today is the observation of Dr. King, and we're going to have a live show for you today. We got Keith in the studio. That's here. Let me set up so Keith can actually be a part of the show here. 1 second. So at any time, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. Keith is becoming radio savvy. He cut his phone off. That's a good look, my brother. Good to see you. Hadn't seen you in a week. Was busy. And, hey, nice sweater there, Keith. Nice sweater there. So if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call. We're having a very special show today. I think it's very, very important. I would ask, hold your calls until the second hour because I want to make sure that we get some content in today that I think is very, very, very important. In today's show, we're going to get into today's show. And today's show, the name of today's show is, 1 second, let me get back to what I had it, Keith. Today's show is the People's Movement must be based off of sound, off of fiscal soundness. The People's Movement must be based off of fiscal soundness. An honor to Dr. King. Very, very important that we do. And there are some very important fundamentals that we have to understand in order to have a real people's movement. And Dr. King had actually given his life for that. And I appreciate it. And I take it to full, I take it into full responsibility to actually try to seed as much as you possibly can because of that. And that overall sacrifice is not wasted or not gone in vain. Very important that we look at things and we try to build on as much as we possibly can. And so today I want to focus on some of those things. I want you to just hear the first hour and 15 minutes or hour and 30 minutes of the show. before calling in, because it's very, very important. I want you to hear everything first and then start to, the whole time, start to conceptualize and start to meditate on what you're hearing. And so I think that would greatly help. And I just want to say Keith did a fantastic job last week for the time that he was on this show. My mistake, I couldn't, a couple of days I couldn't make it, Keith, the time difference and then the weather and where I was, the overall reception was not good. California had a lot of rain last week. And so it disrupted where we were. So, but you did a fantastic job, my brother, and we're going to get you everything up to speed. So the co-host is here, so I can't tease him anymore because he didn't fall asleep in between his game. I think he put his video game down and everything else. So I greatly appreciate you. And thank you, Keith, for all you do. You make it a whole lot easier for me because, ooh, I'm tired. I am beat from my voice, and we got a lot of stuff to talk about. So let's get into that. Let's get into what's in the news. Before we do that, everyone, please support Black Talk Radio Network. Go to the homepage for Black Talk Radio Network, www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. Hit the donation prompt. Give a donation so this network can stay on air. Very important that you do that. Also, you can support the network by being a member inside of this social media platform known as BTR Community. You can find that at www.btrcommunity. For only $24 a year, you can become a member and actually post in their overall social media platform. Instead of posting in other places, you can post.
Hey, Dave, some things have changed with that, man.
Okay, go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah, if you go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, it may look different to you. Well, it will look different to you unless you're pulling up the old cache version of the website. But anyway, there's a site that there's a tab in the floating menu that's at the top that says become a publisher or a subscriber. And so you can become a publisher, meaning a write a blog. Do a photo blog, upload videos, upload podcasts, just, you know, whatever type of format, we can accommodate that. And I'll even help you for those that don't know the technology and what have you. And so the $24 a year not only applies to just BTR Community, but if you want to become a publisher as well, you can do that now. The only way now to become a subscriber is to go through the same process. It's the same thing because you can't subscribe anymore publicly. That's not, I'm not allowing public subscription. What is a subscription? That means that you sign up so that you can get whenever content is posted sent to your email notifications and what have you. So that's done away with. The current subscribers, they will remain, but there'll be no new subscribers until, a person takes out a subscription. So it's like, I don't know what would you call that? Like a one size fit all or one plan for all? Yeah. I mean, if you want to be a publisher, if you want to partake in BTR Community, all of that just for $24 a year. So the details are on that page.
A one-stop shop, everything you need right there. Everything you need right there. So definitely please do that, and we'll keep you up to date on that. Also, if you'd like to acquire real money, definitely go to Prosperity Mint. Prosperity Mint is a full-service precious metals dealership where you can exchange your currency for real money, which is going to be very important going forward. I've got a lot to catch up on that. Hey, let me get into what's in the news. Just some breaking news out of Russia and regarding the Black Sea and the overall confrontation that's going on. It looks like there's two ships are on fire in the Kerch Strait after blast reportedly rocks one of them. Looks like, we're going to cover that too, Keith. I saw that. Big news there as well. So huge news in the Black Sea, moving into the Sea of Azov with Russia, where they actually just last year, late last year, they actually seized and fired upon two Ukrainian naval vessels and took them and seized their overall cargo, or seized the ship and seized the overall crew. Now, remember, the U.S. wanted to aggravate and agitate that overall situation. Well, looks like it's starting back up because two ships on fire there. So we'll find out what that is a little bit later.
Hey, Dave, I saw last night that a U.S. naval ship was approaching that strait and that the Russians told them to back off. Then I also saw where a U.S. naval vessel was threatening to go through the Straits of China or, what you know, off of Taiwan, the South China Sea. Let me ask the people listening and of course the host and whatnot, what other country is always trying to provoke something with another country? I mean, I ain't never witnessed this, Dave. It's like the bully on the block that's picking on everybody. Does this not seem like that to you? It does to me, man. It's like they just want to start something all the time.
All the time. It's prodigious, continuous war. Absolutely, Scotty. As you said, it's the bully that is trying to provoke and instigate everything. And it's not just in the overall arena of war. It's in the overall social, political, and economic vestures in arena as well. So yeah, Scotty, that is exactly what it is, and that's, is, you know, it's not what it appears with us, it's what it is. We see it, we know it. And yes, Scotty, absolutely 100% right. What other country? You can't name any other country, because they don't do it in the scope and the scale that the United States does. And it's going to really put a real strain, and is going to lead to more and more confrontation on all fronts. So we're going to get into what's in the news, and that's part of what today's show is. Today's show, the People Movement, must be based off of fiscal soundness. Honor to Dr. King. First article we got from is Something Wicked This Way Comes. So check out that. I would agree with that. Next article, this one comes from RT International, the business. IMF cuts global growth. And I put in there also the actual pamphlet from the IMF in regards to that. So IMF is saying International Monetary Fund, but I call them something else. International, I can't say it. Pastor Keith is in the building. I won't say it. And so they're basically saying that the global economy, is they're seeing it at a low right now, at a three-year low, but it's going to go even lower. So check out that. So they're giving you a heads up. Next article from Reuters: gap between the rich and the poor growing, fueling global anger. And this is all being provoked by the greatest purveyor of violence, that being the U.S. agenda, sovereign state agenda. Next article: how much? This one comes from How Much. Visualizing the states of government debt around the world. Visualizing the states of government debt around the world. So you can see it firsthand. And this is kind of old information. It's actually worse than that. So check out that. Next article. This one comes from Twitter. Israeli Defense Forces: we have started taking strikes against Iranian quad targets in Syria territory. We warned the Syrian Air Force against attempting to harm Israeli forces or territory. And this is Israel invoking and infringing in Syria. So that attack was a major attack that was going on last night between Israel and Syria and the Iranians. And it's all coming to a full head. It's going to turn into, this is a part of World War III. World War III has already started. They may have not announced it, but you don't need an announcement that if somebody's going to punch you in the gut, what you going to wait for them to hit you in the gut and then tell you, I just punched you? No. As soon as they hit you, the war is on. So there it goes. Next article from the Times of Israel: Syria launches surface-to-surface missiles in response to Israeli raids. Check out that article. Next article from Sputnik News: Iran ready to eliminate Israel from Earth, the Air Force commander said. In regards to this, next article from Press TV: Syria downed over 30 Israeli missile bombs. Next article, very, very significant one. This one comes from U.S. News and World Report. Erdogan says the Kurdish rebels will not shelter in Syria's safe zone. So Turkey, in the last 48 hours, Turkey has started to attack the Kurds in Syria, and in the U.S. Thank you, Pastor. And the U.S. warns Turkey not to do it. Well, they didn't. They're not listening. Next article from CNBC. Turkey will attack the Kurdish fighters in Syria regardless of U.S. withdrawal or what the U.S. says. This is why the U.S., that overall withdrawal that was said, that was nothing more than propaganda. The U.S. will not be withdrawing from Syria. It's actually going to be drawn even further into Syria and the surrounding countries. If anything, they're just going to maneuver some equipment, some troops, and redeploy, but it's not a withdrawal at all. It's going to be a full-fledged engagement, and they're going to deploy, not withdraw. They're going to deploy more U.S. Military assets there. Unfortunate for those individuals and us, of those that have those as family members, and is going to be a part of the overall deterioration that is going to ultimately lead to the untied states of America. Next article from Press TV. Dasher bomb attacks kills 5 Kurdish militants in Syria. Check out that article. Goes along with this is the overall war paradigm. Next article from RT International. Anti-Trump frenzy threatens to end superpower diplomacy. Check out that article. Next article from the South China Morning Post. China's outbound project plunge. Investors pull back from the United States. Very, very important. And let me just say this. Well, I'll wait about that. Next article from RT International. Viral video of a standoff between a Native American and a Make American Great hat-wearing boy splits America. This is the purpose and the design, and this is what is purposely being done. We are under a psyop, and we have been for pretty much all of our individual lives here. And then I had the breaking news story. So that's what's in the news. I want to definitely get into today's show. Let me just say this for today's show. There's a couple of things before we get into it. Today's show, the people's movement must be based off of fiscal soundness. The people's movement must be based off of fiscal soundness. An honor to Dr. King. Let me just say this. Last week, I actually was in a seminar. I had to give a seminar, and Keith, a large percentage of the individuals were first-time visitors to the United States from China. And there was a high Chinese official that was there. And at this overall presentation that I gave, I was sitting at the table with some individuals that there. It was the first time in the United States. Are you ready, Keith?
So their whole purpose of coming to the United States was this seminar?
No, it was for just a matter of commerce and trade.
Okay.
And then I was asked to come to present. And so that's what we were there. So there were some individuals that were there for the first time in the United States. Are you ready, Keith?
I'm ready.
The individuals said, wow, your country is disintegrating. We actually thought that you would be more developed infrastructure-wise than what you are. It was quite disappointing. Mm. And so
We lost Dave. He dropped off the board. Let me try to get him back. Hold on for a second. Sorry about that. Things happen. Let me see. I think we got him back. Yeah, we got you back, Dave.
Okay. Can you hear me, Scotty?
Yes.
Okay, great. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened. It just went boop, was gone. So these individuals, and I had a chance to speak with them, and they were quite disappointed. And so they asked, you know, what I thought about some things, and then so the and they asked me what some of the solutions that I thought was for the U.S. And you know what I said, Keith? I had a silver coin in my pocket, and I'm sitting in the midst of, it was me and only one other person from the United States, and I'm sitting at a table with dinner with people from China.
They all speak English?
No, had an interpreter. The only people from the U.S. was myself, one other individual, and the interpreter. And the table was approximately, it was about a table that was holding around about nine people. So everyone else were from China, directly from China. Some of them had been here before, but most of them were their first time. So I pulled out a silver coin. And guess what the table, the person that was really kind of speaking for the table, and what I'm seeing was the most outspoken one of the at the table. I wouldn't say was speaking for the table, but the one that was engaging the most. Guess what the individual said when I pulled out a silver coin?
Gas.
What do you think they said? No. Some of them did. But guess what the one person said? The one person said in English, "Ah, real money." I was floored. As soon as I pulled it out, they said, "Ah, real money," in perfect English. I was floored.
Understandably.
And why I was floored is floored because if I pull it out anywhere in the United States, every person looks in them. What looks like? What is that?
What is that?
And I didn't say anything more.
Conversation took up.
I took
care of it.
I didn't want to engage in conversation anymore. I just engaged in just general conversation with them. Great, nice people. And that was it. I was almost called you right away. And that was significant because we may think what we think, and what we don't know will harm us. And what we do not, what if we continue to ignore our instinctive truths, the overall burden of that is going to completely be overwhelming for us. Ah, real money. And this is why immediately I said I have to do this show. So, and we're going to do that. And I just wanted to share that with you all. And so let's get into today's show. And today's show is that I want to play something for you. And this one is a very, very short, is a 1 minute and 18 second video of Alan Greenspan in 2005 at the Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan at the Senate Banking Committee, before the Senate Banking Committee.
What year did you say?
2005. We played this before, but we really need to revisit this and really reinstitutionalize the truth that's being said, because Alan Greenspan is going to say something that corroborates what the young lady said at the table when she said, "Ah, real money." And what we've been trying to get everyone here to understand, what the system, with this, what we've been schooled in, is a burden. What we've been schooled in is into subjugation and enslavement. What we have to be educated in, regardless of what you think or what I think, the truth doesn't need you or nor I. We need the truth. And the truth doesn't come to you in a way that it is going to be personally pleasant to your palate. It's not going to conform itself to your comfortability. It's going to state itself based off of the virtue of its constitution, which means someone else has to be remolded and get into line to what the truth is. It really doesn't matter what we think. It really matters in what we do with the truth. I'm going to post it. Scotty can play it real quickly. It's 1 minute and 18 seconds. Because we really do have to break this lie thinking that cash is money. And then another one that we have to break is that us thinking that we don't need money. You absolutely do. Because you are created by the great creator. The great creator only creates sustainable things that actually sustain, that is money. You need money, but not man's falsehood and imitation form of money. That is detrimental. It is a prescription to death and destruction and poverty. And we have to understand that. So I posted this, Scotty, if you would, this 1 minute and 18 seconds. If you can't do it, don't worry about it, Scotty. I can. Okay, Scotty's there. Cool. Here we go. Alan Greenspan, 2005. At the banking, as the Fed chairman,
do you still believe that we should maintain the fundamental principles of Social Security? Is he didn't need his room?
I think we should maintain the principles of Social Security, but I think the existing structure is not working, and that until we can construct a system which creates the savings that are required to build the real assets, so that the retirees have real goods and services, we don't have a system that's working. We have one that basically moves cash around, and we can guarantee cash benefits. It's far out and at whatever size you like, but we cannot guarantee their purchasing power. And this is why the issue ultimately has got to be resolved in terms of, do we have the material goods and services that people will need to consume, not whether or not we pass some hurdle with respect to how legal financing occurs, because the financing is a secondary issue, and it's the means to create the real wealth, not an end in itself.
And that goes back, I think.
Okay, you heard that. What Alan Green, let me tell you the truth of what Alan Greenspan said. He was absolutely right and truthful in his statement. He says that we can give you as much cash as you want for as far out as you want. See, most people think that with the debt situation, why don't they print more cash? Because you don't understand, because you think cash is money. Here's what Alan Greenspan said, the Fed chairman, the overall private celebrity figurehead chairman of the private institution of financing around the world and banking around the world, said that we can give you as much cash as you want. Meaning what? It's worthless. It doesn't mean anything. We have plenty of that. And if we don't, we can go and kill more trees to create it. But what we can't do is guarantee the purchasing power. See, The purchasing power means this. We can't guarantee that the people of the world will have confidence that we will be able to pay. We can't pay our debts doing it that way, because we are giving a worthless piece of paper and trying to get real assets that the people will need to consume. Let me tell you what he really meant there. They are leveraging pieces of paper so that you will starve. When people are starving, they are more prone to being subjugated and enslaved by their own will. They will surrender. You don't threaten them with, you're going to do this. You persuade them from their stomach. You persuade them from their basic staple goods that they need to survive. If you provide that, they will look at you as a god. They will look at you as a demigod and worship you to their ultimate sacrifice. They will look to you as the savior, as the provider. And they will follow you blindly with ignorance of their own moral conviction. I mean, compromising of their own moral conviction because of the ignorance of what the overall objective is. And that objective is to subjugate and enslave you. He basically said that they will give you as much cash, but you won't get any of the resources that you need to survive. And because of that, you will be going to someone else and begging for provisions. Not even talking about sovereignty. That has been lost. So this is an economic financial truth that we have to come to grips with, because that truth will stand. Are we aligning ourselves to that truth? Is what matters. What are we going to do once we get presented with the truth? Alan Greenspan did not lie. And he actually told you what you should be doing. What he was telling you should be doing as the overall retirees. And he wasn't just, they use the word retirees, but he's basically saying every single person. What you should be doing is recognizing that that piece of paper is worthless, and you better start acquiring real assets that is a form of money that has intrinsic value that can sustain your consumption going forward in the future. Very important. Now I want to do this. Dr. King gave his life for this. Very, very significant. Dr. King would not compromise once he realized what was really happening. And once he realized what was really happening, he no longer became an iconic figure for the overall system of subjugation. He moved against it. He spoke against it. He spoke against the overall economic disparity. He spoke against the overall war. He spoke against the subjugation and enslavement, not of black people, of people, period. I'm going to play something for you. And at the one
Hey, Dave, can you say that last part again about who, and I know it's semantics and I get what you're saying, but I wouldn't say that he gave his life or Malcolm X gave their life. Anybody that's been assassinated has been murdered. They didn't willingly, you know, offer themselves up to be killed. They was murdered.
You know, right, Scotty. You're absolutely right. And let me rephrase, because Scotty's absolutely right. They were willing not to compromise, and in that overall not conforming, they knew that they were going to put themselves in physical harm to lose their life. They were murdered. But they were willing to go through that overall gauntlet because they would not change. That is absolutely right.
And I don't want to disagree I'm not disagreeing, but I think you guys are in between where each other's saying, because I think ultimately they did give their lives, because they knew when they made that decision, they knew they were going to be killed.
Yeah, but what Scotty was saying is that they were murdered because of their position. Right. That's absolutely. They wanted to live. Dr. Sure. King said longevity has its place.
Yeah.
Meaning that he would love to live, but he realizes in order to do that, he would have to change some things about him, and that wasn't what he was going to do.
Absolutely.
Longevity has this place.
Absolutely.
So, Scotty, they were absolutely murdered as to what you were saying, but they were willing. They were willing to go towards that overall extreme, because that wasn't eternity.
Yeah.
That was temporary.
Yeah.
So, when I'm going to post this, and at the 1 minute and I think it's the 1 minute and 15 to the 1 minute and 25 seconds. 1 minute and 15 seconds, 1 minute and 25 seconds. I want you to hear what Dr. King said. We're not going to play some of the stuff that the propagandists and the media want you to hear what Dr. King said. We want to show you who Dr. King was really speaking about and what was really causing the overall, hey, you need to be quiet. Where was the threats coming from? Those individuals that he was, those individuals and corporations and institutions that his overall voice and his overall commitment was slowly deteriorating, because truth will always stand. So I'm going to put this in and I want you to really hear it. It's 10 minutes. Very significant, but the first 1 minute and 15 second mark to the 1 minute and 25 second mark is critical. And it's critical that we understand this economic truth. Here we go. I'm going to post it, Scotty, if you could play it. Here we go. And while Scotty's doing that, we are seeing.
Also realize that the problems of racial injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power.
We read one day, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But if a man doesn't have a job or an income, he has neither life nor liberty and the possibility for the pursuit of happiness. He merely exists.
Estimated that we spend $322,000 for each enemy we kill in Vietnam, while we spend in the so-called war on poverty in America only about $53 for each person classified as poor.
The promises of the Great Society have been shot down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home.
The other thing I want you to understand is this, that it didn't cost the nation one penny to integrate lunch counters.
Well,
it didn't cost the nation one penny to guarantee the right to vote. But now we are dealing with issues that cannot be solved without the nation spending billions of dollars and undergoing a radical redistribution of economic power.
Yes, yes.
All labor has dignity.
Yes.
But you are doing another thing. You are reminding not only Memphis, but you are reminding the nation
that it is a crime for people to live in this rich nation and receive starvation wages.
America's opportunity to help bridge the gulf between the haves and the have-nots. And the question is whether America will do it. There's nothing new about poverty. What is new is that we now have the techniques and the resources to get rid of poverty. And the real question is whether we have the will.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check.
I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure, high, and clean. But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
What is the relationship between this and the reality of the Negro masses?
Well, to leave Martin out of it
for a moment. Martin's very rare, very great man. Martin's rare for two reasons, partly because just because he is. And because he's a real Christian, and he really believes in nonviolence. He's arrived at something in himself, which permits him, allows him to do it. And he still has great moral authority in the South. He has none whatever in the North. Poor Martin has gone through God knows what kind of hell to awaken the American conscience. But Martin has reached the end of his rope. There's some things Martin can't do. Martin's only one man. Martin can't solve the nation's central problem by himself. There are lots of people, lots of black people, I mean now, who don't go to church no more and don't listen to Martin, you know. And who, anyway, are themselves produced by civilization, which has always glorified violence, unless the Negro had the gun. So that Martin is undercut by the performance of the country. The country is only concerned about nonviolence if it seems that I'm going to get violent. But I'm worried about nonviolence if it's some Alabama sheriff.
Jim, what do you see deep in the recesses of your own mind as the future of our nation? And I ask that question in that way because I think that the future of the Negro and the future of the nation are linked.
They're indissoluble.
Yeah. Now, what do you see? Are you essentially optimistic or pessimistic? And I really don't want to put words in your mouth because what I really want to find out is what you really believe.
Well, I'm both glad and sorry you asked me that question. I'll do my best to answer it. I can't be a pessimist because I'm alive. To be a pessimist means that you have agreed that human life is an academic matter. So I'm forced to be an optimist. I'm forced to believe that we can survive whatever we must survive. But the Negro in this country, the future of the Negro in this country is precisely as bright or as dark as the future of the country. It is entirely up to the American people and our representatives. It is entirely up to the American people whether or not they're going to face and deal with and embrace this stranger whom they maligned so long. What white people have to do is try to find out in their own hearts why it was necessary to have a nigger in the first place. Because I'm not a nigger. I'm a man. But if you think I'm a nigger, it means you need it. The question you've got to ask yourself, the white population of this country has got to ask itself, north and south, because it's one country, and for a Negro, there's no difference between north and the south. There's just a difference in the way they castrate you. But the fact of the castration is the American fact. If I'm not the Negro here, and you invented him, you, the white people, invented him, then you've got to find out why.
Well,
and the future of the country depends on that, whether or not it's able to ask that question.
As a Negro and as an American, I can only hope that America has the strength and the capacity,
the moral strength,
to ask and answer that question in affirmative and constructive
question,
way.
To face that question.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, that was James Baldwin at the end. And Dr. King, there's a couple of things I want to, Scotty, if we could, there's one part, and it's 4 seconds, it's 5 seconds long. If you could, Scotty, if you would just go back to 1 minute and 14 seconds to 1 minute and 27 seconds. If you could just replay that really quickly,
say,
I think it would be very important for us to hear
say,
that.
Say,
1 minute and 14.
Start where?
Yes, go ahead, Scotty.
Start where?
Yeah, 1 minute and 14 seconds to 1 minute and 27 seconds.
Okay. Well, Dave, can
Thanks,
I say
God.
Something before we play this clip?
Yeah, definitely. Of course.
There's one thing that I disagree with, and this is something. I'm going to have to do this show, man, this program on Christophobia and what have you. One thing that I didn't agree with what Baldwin said about Dr. King is saying that he's a true Christian because he practices nonviolence. That's incorrect.
Yes,
that's not correct. That's not correct. Dr. King was directed to use that strategy. You know, they had strategy meetings and whatnot. And he knew that we didn't have the military wherewithal, the military power, the military resources to conduct a revolution. And he didn't want to see a bunch of people getting shot down like they had always been. You know, we know, right. You know, the different American history, you know, Black Wall Street, other places as well. He know we weren't organized to fight that kind of violence, you know, that was going to come. So that's why he chose nonviolence as a tactic, not because he was a Christian. And as I, you know, I was listening to this other program and, you know, again, this Christophobia. Look, everybody that say they a Christian, anybody can claim to be anything. It's, the proof is in the pudding. The proof is in how they live their lives. You know, I can tell you I'm a Muslim, but I mean, if I don't adhere to the principles of that religious ideology, then I'm not a Muslim. I'm just telling you I am, you know. So I just disagree with him in people portraying Christianity as meaning you have to be nonviolent.
I thought you.
Yeah, you don't have to be nonviolent. I mean, when you look at the history of the Black church in this country, on this continent, they have always been at the forefront of the resistance. You know what I'm saying? When they went into battle in the Civil War, you know what I'm saying? They had a Bible and a rifle, you know? So this notion that Christianity means you're supposed to be nonviolent. No, what it means is you're supposed to be non-aggressive. You're not supposed to be the aggressor. And nothing in Christianity prevents you from defending your life, your family's life, or anybody else's life. I'm done, Dave.
My man, exactly. And you know, Scotty, you said something, and I heard a great pastor give a sermon one day, a couple of Sundays ago, and it was Pastor Keith. Is who you are and what you do that actually designates what you say. So you may say something, but your deeds is who you really are. And Pastor Keith gave that sermon a couple of weeks ago.
And to Pastor Keith's point, to his point, Pence last night going to misappropriate Dr. King's words in support of building a wall.
Yes. And it's a lot of things are going to be taken out of context. And one of the things that you said with Christianity is absolutely right. As a person of faith, you only use defensive measures, violent defensive measures, or as a last resort for a means of self-defense. You're not an aggressor. You're not a perpetrator of violence. You're not seeking to rob, steal, and destroy from the overall advent of tools of destruction. You're not using tools to conquer. There is a difference. There's a huge difference. And as Scotty said, that was the talking point that they wanted Dr. King to follow. When I say they, the system itself, the very government, because that actually kept people in line. Sure. Dr. King was a CCW holder. Jesus told the disciples, take your garment, take your purse, and sell it, and to do what? Buy a sword. And then when the centurions came to arrest him for crucifixion, when the ear of the centurion was cut off, what did Jesus say? It's not the time for that right now. Meaning that other times there is times for it, but there's not a time for that right now.
Right.
I have to do what I've been called to do.
Right.
And I've accepted. And I said, here I am, and I will give what I need to give to do this. We don't need that sword right now. And so, Scotty, if you would,
114.
14 seconds to 1 minute and 27 seconds.
That's okay.
13-second span. It's very, very important. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to tell you why when we come back out of the commercial break.
Okay, here we go.
The promises of the Great Society have been shot down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home.
The other thing I want you to understand is...
You heard what Dr. King said. The burden. And later on in this, before we go into the commercial break, what did Dr. King say about the Constitution, the Emancipation Proclamation, the overall signing of the document that he is, and being a part of the document signing that he is being, that he has actually been creating an icon over, the Civil Rights Bill? What did he say? None of that matters. Because he knew the truth. He knew the truth. And we need to know it as well. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. When we come back, we'll pick up from here. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give me 15, 20 minutes when we come back out of the commercial break before we have any calls. I want to get to something very, very important that we all need to know. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. And today's show is really an honor to you all and to the overall steadfastness of Dr. King. And today's show is, the people movement must be based off of fiscal soundness in honor of Dr. King.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
That part that you had me replay, that's still the case today. You know, back then they had a draft. And, you know, but even today, I say we have a draft. We have a poverty draft where most of the people that's volunteering is doing it to escape poverty and for opportunity and a better future. You know, that's why I joined. I joined because I didn't want to go into debt, because of how much college costs and all of that, and you know, the other benefits. And if I had to do it over, I wouldn't do it. And I'm glad my children didn't follow my footsteps. But he's correct, though. That's still true today. Those people that's dying in Syria, those people that's dying in Somalia or anywhere they got U.S. troops waging war, they are not coming from the wealthiest families in this country.
Scotty, you know what? The poverty draft. I've never, you absolutely right, my friend.
You know, and it goes all the way back to the Civil War again. I remember reading some stuff where they got to, where the war started out, everybody went to war. But within a year or two inside the war, they started making all of these concessions. And some of these concessions where the wealthy only had to do a partial amount of time that everybody else. And that time that they did was it was a protected position that they didn't have
in garrison.
Hey, Pastor Keith, that's in the Revolutionary War too.
Yeah. And or they can just pay them a certain amount of money and
for immunity,
right? And they didn't have to participate in it at all.
Still to this day, and it goes on, and very, very important. And so, what I want to do, let me just, and I want everyone to hear me out, because I want to give you a measure of truth. I'm going to post inside of BTR community, inside of the Tando Radio Show page, something that's very important that we all should absolutely know and have a full understanding of what is being omitted to us all. Because they will tell you the truth, and we will just learn to listen and heed, and we follow our instinctive truths, we'll know a lie from a deception immediately. And Keith, you okay? Mm-hmm. Keith, I posted BLS. And BLS is the Bureau of Labor Statistics from the United States Department of Labor. And I want to show you something that's very, very critical, and it's the truth. We are not wealthier than we were in the past. Many people think that, but it's not the truth. This will show you. There's a reason why. Because there's a trick in the deception. Remember when Alan Greenspan said when we first started the show, I can give you as much cash for as long as you want. I can give you worthlessness and take away your priceless labor. I can give you something that will not be able to sustain you, an imitation form of money, but I can't give you money. Because if I give you money, that would mean that I would be giving you something that you will no longer have to come back to me for it. Because I didn't create money. Let me show you how that works. I put in the Bureau of Labor Statistics, United States Department of Labor. You all can do this and find it for yourself. Here's what I want you to do. When you pull that up, you're going to go to the CPI, the Consumer Price Index, Inflation Calculator. Consumer Price Index, the Inflation Calculator. One of the things about this system is that it will always tell you what it's doing, because they have a sick code and creed to doing that, because they try to get us to be willful participants from ignorance into their overall subjugation. And that creates them in God we trust. But it's not the great creator. It's the demigod of the overall systematic control of mankind. In the CPI, inflation calculator, the first line says a dollar amount and says in what month and in what year has the same purchasing power. Has the same buying power. Keith, where we heard that buying power before? Didn't Alan Greenspan, the Fed chairman, say that himself from 2005? We played that when we first came on.
Yeah.
Has the same buying power as, and it gives a number, in another month in 2008, meaning you can go and put in some numbers. Let's go and put in these numbers real quick, and let me show you what that means. If you're in the first line of the CPI inflation calculator, you put $1,400 and put it in January of 1913. Why 1913? I picked 1913 because that was when the overall Federal Reserve at Heckel Island in Georgia. No, it was established way before, but that's when they actually took a position of admission into the overall propaganda cycle in the United States. They admitted that we're here. They were there before. And they've been there for centuries.
Are you talking about the central bankers?
Yes, the bankers at Jekyll Island. What they just did was they announced their presence, but they never disclosed their objective. So you put in January of 1913. This is the month of January now, correct? Put in $1,400 in January of 1913. Has the same purchasing power as, and then in the month, put in December of 2018. That was the last month that we completed, okay? It was the last full month that we completed of 2018. You hit calculate. Here's the truth. $1,400 in 1913 has the same purchasing power as $35,890.43 today.
What's that website, Dave?
$1,400.
What's that website, Dave? Because I would like to plug in $1 trillion. To see what that's really worth. And I'm choosing that number for a reason, because, you know, there are people in the black community who claim that we have $1 trillion in spending power and all that, like that's wealth. You know?
Right, exactly, Scott. So I just posted it there, Scotty. And you know what, Scotty is Scotty and I have been doing this together for a while. He said, because that's where I was going to go. I was going to go to $1 trillion. Scotty's absolutely right. So wait, let's go back. $1,400 in 1913. So if you had $1,400 in 1913, you had the same purchasing power as $35,000, well, $36,000 today. What does that mean? This is what that means. You've lost $36,000 in purchasing power. How many people have $3,500? $36,000.
Now, hardly anybody.
Hardly anybody. So when you see these athletes getting these great contracts, that means nothing. You're getting a piece of paper. They're giving you what Alan Greenspan said. We can create that for as much as you want, for as far out as you want. Do you know what far out means? As long as you'll take it, we'll continue to give it to you for perpetuity if you will accept it, dummy. But what you won't have is purchasing power. You won't be able to acquire anything of substance and is going to bring you any form of prosperity or generational wealth. You can't use currency as a measure of savings into wealth. Currency has to be moved. You have to have it move away from you to acquire wealth. But most people say, I need to have savings. The bankers always push, and all of their minions and all of their spokespeople always push, you need to have savings. You're not getting any savings. You're losing purchasing power every darn day. Right now, you're paying 96% interest whenever you hold a U.S. dollar in your physical possession.
I'll pay you Tuesday for a sandwich that you give me today.
It's so. In 1913, let's go to another year, Keith. Let's go to a year in which you were born. In
1970.
And we're going to go to 1935.
Did you say Keith was born in 1913? Hey, Dave, I can't put that. It won't take that many zeros.
I didn't think it would.
Yeah, okay. All right, we'll do a month. We'll do a million. We'll do a million.
Divide the 36,000 by 14, get a percentage, and yes, multiply whatever number you want by that percentage.
Well, we could put a million in and then use that as the benchmark. So let's take another year. Keith was born in
1950.
Let's go 50. 1950. In January of 1950. That same $1,400 from 1950, in January of 1950, has the same buying power as basically $15,000 last month. In 1950, you see you're continuously losing purchasing power. Before, in 1913, you had more purchasing power. Now you continue to lose. I want to do something.
Can you do a reverse? So that was $14,000 in 1950, right?
Yes.
So what is that $14,000 today?
1 second. I'm going to do $200.
And what year?
I'm going to do $100. Because we've all have worked with 100 U.S. dollars. I'm going to do 1950 again. Okay? And I'm going to calculate it. $100 in 1950 has the same purchasing power as $1,069.08 today. See, you can't keep up with the overall deterioration in the rate of inflation. You, no matter how much you save, you're losing. The truth of the matter is that we have to get into what the great creator has given to us and deemed to us as being money, not what man has tricked us into believing is necessary. We have to reconform our overall truth. I want to do this one more time. Let's do 1913 for $100. So if you had $100 in 1913, That's $2,563.60 in purchasing power today. Now you see that. Let's do the reverse. Here's the reverse. The reverse of that is this. You've just lost. If you have $100, you just lost $2,563.60 or 2,563.60% interest has been attached to you since then.
You know, Dave, I used to get a dollar as weekly allowance back in the 70s, and I would always go down to the corner store and buy me a box of Lucky Charms because I like the little marshmallows and the colors and stuff, and I would still have enough left over to buy a couple of candy bars, you know.
Yeah.
And so when I put a dollar in January 1975, what I could buy with that dollar in 1975, I would need $4.82 today. You can't buy a box of cereal with a dollar. You might can get one candy bar, maybe, if you go to the dollar store.
Yep. I put in $1 in January of 1970. It says $6.65.
Can I do a Scotty story?
Yes.
And the reason why I want to do a Scotty story is because it's a story that I did, I think, about last week. I told you about this last week. But I told you back then my parents were military. They got paid once a month. And what would happen is they'd go down there and they would do all the grocery shopping, and it would take us all day. Each one of the kids got a certain thing. One had the dry, one had the frozen, and on and on. But we hated those days because it'd take all afternoon to put away the groceries. I remember specifically my mom and dad being very upset. They were very upset. And the reason why they were so upset, because this particular time that they went to shopping to pay for all these groceries for a month, they broke $100, and it was $103 that they spent. And they were very upset about that. Well, you go to a grocery store now, and you get a bag of groceries, and it's going to cost you $103.
Keith, in line with your story, which is so powerful, you remember you said how you hated it because it took all day? And everything else, everybody had different jobs. Well, see, in today's, with that same currency that they use to buy the goods, it would only take you 2 minutes to put everything up.
Yeah.
That story is so significant. Scotty's story is so significant, and your story is so significant. Remember what took you all day and had many people having to do? You had your sister, your brother, everybody, and you hated it because it took all day. Well, in today's world, with that same currency that they use to purchase, right, equivalency to today, not that same, because they would have more purchasing power, you would be putting stuff up all day still, but today it would take you 2 minutes to put the groceries up, and it would only take one person. You probably could turn the TV with the remote and with the other hand put everything up and not even go to commercial break. Now I ask you all, do you think this trend is going to go back the other way?
Absolutely not.
It is.
Well, yeah, but not with the form that we're using.
Exactly. It's going to go the other way. How it's going to go the other way is this. Keith?
Well, the means that we're using, the dollar bill,
yes,
is going to be destroyed.
It's going to be destroyed, and they're going to reinstitute something else, one that's backed with silver and gold.
Real money.
And then what's that going to do?
It's going to keep and maintain its value.
It's going to push it back to 1913. But guess what? Everyone here don't have that overall currency that's backed by silver and gold yet. They're not giving it to you yet. And guess what? They won't give it to you. You're going to have to exchange for it. And guess what that exchange rate is going to be? Let me give you a clue.
Well, let's go back before you do that a little bit, because I see it even more worse than that. They're not going to give it to you.
No.
What's going to happen is the massive part of population and society we know is going to pretty much be all but wiped out. And then at that point in time, the people that are remaining, they will become virtually slaves in exchange for substance. At a much, much, it will be even, the over-extreme rate will be so small, but the overall requirement will be so great. You know, and this is true. And it's very important because that exchange rate, let me give you an example. What do I mean by that exchange rate? Exchange rate. In 1913, you go back to 1913, I'm going to do the $1 to today. $1 in 1913 has 20 today, $1 in 1913 would be able to buy $25.64 worth of purchasing power today. $1. So now, here's what I want you to know that's very, it's very, very important.
You can't put items in there, can you?
I got another one for that. I'll show that one later.
Okay, just one more example. I remember when my oldest brother got his first car.
Mm-hmm.
And it was brand new. It was bright orange. It was called a Vega.
What year?
I believe it was 1970.
How much did he pay for it?
1981.
How much did he pay for it, you know?
$2,300.
Okay, $2,300. Go ahead, Keith.
And that in itself.
19 what?
I think it was 81.
Okay.
No? Yeah, might have been.
You know, we got some, there's a time on the show, you had to make
it. It was somewhere around 79, something like
okay,
that.
Okay, we'll do
I'm 70. Thinking, I can't remember.
Okay.
But he got a brand new car, and it was the same thing when Honda first came out. And at that time, Honda was just a little box looking thing.
$8,500.
$2,500.
What, $2,500 what?
When they first came out, that's what the selling price of it was.
Yes. Well, $2,300 in 1979 and today would have the same purchasing power of $8,460 and 26 cents.
Which is what you can get a little one of those little bug things.
Mm-hmm.
You get them about $10,000.
And what this basically means is that you can't keep up with the rate of inflation. It is going to consume you. There's an article from Business Insider. Here's the average net worth of Americans at every age. Here's, when I was in high school, my high school quarterly report card always told me which,
that was about 76.
Okay. I was in respect to grade. Each quarter, top 10%, second half. There were about 495 students in my grade, so I was, so that meant that I was somewhere between 25th and 50th. Every quarter, same results. Top 10, second half. What's that? Well, was that good compared to 90%? Yes. Compared to 5%? No. Now that I understand how that works, and now that I'm easily into my late 30s, I realize that rankings largely disappears but the comparisons remain the same. Much like our GDP in high school, if you were to point to one figure in your life that summed up how you were doing, it's probably your net worth. It's really easy to see people around you with new clothes, fancy cars, and enormous homes and think they are wealthy. It's just as easy to overlook the janitor who drove a 2007 Toyota, kept his clothes together with safety pins, and forged for firewood. He's definitely poor, right? But that ex-janitor donated $6 million to a local library and hospital. Most of us somewhere in between. Fortunately, the U.S. Census Bureau collects valuable data that can help us give guidance with hard
Uh-oh, we lost Dave again. Hold on. I'm sure he's going to call right back in once he realizes. Give me just a second. All right, here we go. All right, Dave, we got you back.
Okay, so here we go. Understanding the average of net worth, the U.S. Census does more than just count the number of people in the United States. They collect a lot of other data, too. We know the net worth of households based on various factors, including age. The data show below was taken from the U.S. Census Bureau Survey of Income and Program Participation 2008 panel, wave 10 through the release in 2013 and dated as 2011. I recognize a lot of dates, but the data is solid. Figures of net worth include home equity. And it says this, medium value of assets for household by age. Here we go. From age 35 under, the net worth of individuals 35 and under is $6,676. Okay? Now this article was written in the summer of 2017. Age 35 to 45 is $35,000. Age 45 to 54 is $84,000. Age 55 to 64 is $143,964. Ages 65 to 69 is roughly $194,000 and $195,000. 70 to 74 is $181,000. 65 plus is $170,000. 75 plus is $155,000. So those are the age group for the medium net worth of individuals in those age groups. Let's go to Keith's age group and let's take a look at it. It is Keith is 70 to 74. Let me do this part of the show, okay? 70 to 74 is $180,000, $181,000.
Okay, now back up. One more thing. Now, you said that includes the value of their house.
Yes. Okay. Yes. There are many things that factor into this, okay? So now, the median from age 70 to 74, Chief's group, is $181,000, okay? So now, so they got $181,000, and this is in 2017. So I'm going to go to the CPI, and that was in June of 2017. I'm going to put June of 2017 in. And I'm going to put, let's say, going to put from those individuals probably graduate. Keith, when did you graduate? 54?
89.
Okay. So 1954. And I'm going to put in what was that? 181,000. Calculate. In 1954, if those individuals in today's in June of 2017 with that $181,000, it would have the net worth of $1.6 million. You see how much they've lost? But so let me reverse it. Let me give how I reverse it is this way. Move this, 1954. Let's say in 1954, because you know we gotta get to 181. So let's say $23,000. Okay? $23,000. So no, that's too high. So we gotta go a little lower. 22,000. Oh, 19,000. Let's do 19,000. Okay, we're gonna have to go to 25. And I'm doing this for a reason, everyone. And I'll tell you what that reason is in a second. Let me just do this before we go to commercial break. There we go. I got to close. Okay, so listen. Real quickly, listen to this. June of 2017, the net worth of people that in Keith's age group from 70 to 74 was $181,000. In 1954, in order to have that $181,000 purchasing power value then, guess what their overall holdings in 1954 was to have the same purchasing power of 181,000, meaning they really only have this $20,000. And if you go back to 1913, it's going to be even worse. So here it is, people think that they have $181,000, but in actuality, if you go back to when you were just graduating high school, guess what? You only have $20,000 in purchasing power from then. And it gets worse the further you go back. So what does that mean? The overall, remember when Alan Greenspan says we can expand it as long as you want? They've been expanding the currency and giving worthless cash out everywhere. And what does it do? It diminishes its purchasing power. It's diminishing its ability to acquire assets, which you need, which an asset is a form of money. You can't beat this system. You have to first understand how they're operating and why they're doing what they're doing so that you can be put in a position of advantage. Listen, we got to get ready to go to a commercial break. After we come out of a commercial break, if you'd like to jump in, give us a call, 704-802-5056. Very, very important. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, now's the time to call in. Give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. We got Brother Davis in queue and Sister Davis in queue, so I want to go to them. Brother and Sister Davis, welcome to Tando Radio Show. What say you?
Always good to hear the voice of a friend, my brother.
Always Sister, good man, to hear.
It's a great show, and I'm hoping people understand the dynamic that we're talking here. I ran into a conversation just over the weekend. Now, for those of you who don't know, there was a red moon last night, lunar eclipse. And I'm connected to the universe in such a way that I stay on top of those sort of things. But I also am connected to the earth. What does that mean? That means that I have to generate resources too. So I have an internet marketing business, and it's slowly getting the attention that I wanted it to get. But ultimately, it's a process. But the reason why I'm calling is because I had mentioned to one of the people that I was with that I live off grid. He said, "How much is that costing you?" Well, that's just probably running about somewhere between $2,700 and $3,300 a month. He said, "No, precisely." So I said, "Well, if I was to be precise, I'd say probably more than $2,900 a month." He said, "Well, you might as well be living on grid then." I said, "Why is that?" He said, "Because for the initial investment to live off grid, it's going to cost you $7,000 and some odd dollars. I said, "How did you come up with that figure?" I knew. But I wanted to know if he knew, because he had a figure that was as precise as mine. He said, "Because you would have to come up with a system to supply energy to you in order for you to eliminate that cost. And the system is not designed for you to live that way, so it's going to be a pretty sizable amount of money." And he's absolutely right. The system is designed for you to stay connected to it so that it will make money off you forever. It feeds a system of supremacy. And in order for that system to stay intact, it has to be based on something that is perpetual. And there's nothing more perpetual than greed. Well, needless to say, the guy wanted to let him connect with me because he kind of liked the idea of what I was doing and everything. And he gave me his business card, but I didn't give him mine. Now, the reason why I didn't give him my business card was because I don't want to do business with him. The reason why I don't want to do business with him is because it was a choice that I made. If you know so much about what I'm doing, then evidently you are starting to do the same thing. And I don't mind that. But don't redirect your energy at me in a manner that's supposed to take the wind out of my sails. And that's actually what he was trying to do. He was trying to see if we were functional enough to understand that in order to live off-grid, you're going to have to sacrifice something. And I've been sacrificing ever since we made this move. I'm pointing this out to you because I want you to understand, when the Federal Reserve kicked in 1913, they kicked in so they could perpetuate a system of control. And how did they do that? With money and greed. It's still alive and well today, and it's in every attribute of society. And until we wake up to the understanding that we can live without being attached to the system, we victimize ourselves. I just wanted to add that, Brother Dave.
Well said, Brother Davidson. You know, that's so true. See, one of the things about living off-grid means that you are invoking more of your sovereignty. Because what's priceless about it is this, is that you will be able to sustain yourself regardless of the overall economic climate of what's going on around you. You have more sovereignty and self-determination. And guess what that's worth? That's priceless. Because that is your unalienable right, meaning that is something that's given to you by the great creator, not by man. It's absent of man's hand. And man wants to regulate. What does the word regulate mean? It means to fix and control. They want to fix you so that you have to do what they say and control you. One of the things that the system perpetuates is they say can own nothing but control everything. Regulation means that they're controlling you is a powerful position. Owning is a subordinate to control. You don't want to own anything. You don't put your name on anything. It's more powerful to control everything around you. And that's what they want. They don't want to put their name on anything. They want you to see certain things and you affix a name to them that has nothing to do with them at all. Because then you'll be absent of the power of the control. Very, very important.
It's also important along the same lines is you also have to understand that when you are doing these things that you're presently advocating, the things that they have in place aren't stagnant. Therefore, more ever moving, just like we're forever moving. And the reason why I say that is when you go off grid now, and Scotty pointed this out, it depends on what state you live in, et cetera, et cetera. But know that if you do that in the state of Texas, which you should do anyway, they're coming after you. They're coming after you. They do not want you off grid. And they got all kinds of things in place to make sure that you don't do it.
And you know, once again, that overall law is a measure of control, because what they do is that they know they can't stop people from going off grid. So what do they try to do? Persuade and encourage them to obey. Because think about what the overall enforcement arm is if everyone went off grid. There is none. There's nothing that they could do. But what they do is they prevent the individual. As you were saying, Keith, they will come after the individual because it's very easy to attack one. If you can attack one and have everyone else stand aside and look, you can defeat and control everyone else through fear. You know, Brother Davis talks about that one movie, and I remember because I watched it, and it had the same impact on me as it did Brother Davis, where it was the grasshoppers controlling the ants. And they said, grasshoppers said, if they realize that they can just take us, that we have no, we can't control them. I forget exactly what it was. If the ants would just stand up and rise up, there would be nothing that the grasshoppers would be able to, they would overrun them. They tell you.
They said, if you wake up that sleeping giant, it'll be over.
It'll be over. Very important. Keep, you cut that down, that ringtone.
Sorry.
Yeah. Real quick, I need you to hear this. You know, I get distracted easy. You know, so very, very important. Chief, I want y'all to hear this. I'm gonna read you something really quick. And I definitely want this to sink in with you all. This is from Alan Greenspan's writing. Remember Alan Greenspan, the former chairman, Fed chair. Alan Greenspan has always been a proponent of the gold standard and the silver standard. He actually won. And this is why he told more than any other, but he still worked within the confines of being the Fed chairman. He was telling everybody what you needed to do. What Fed chairman has ever said, I can, you know, but I can't guarantee purchasing power? They won't tell you that. They'll give you the regular banker's anthem and pledge in line. I want to read you something. Uh-oh, hopefully I didn't lose it. From Alan Greenspan. Here it is. I just had it. Oh, wait. Okay, let me find it real quick. I just had it. Okay, there it is. All right. This says, Gold and Economic Freedom by Alan Greenspan. Here's, listen to this. Check this out. In an almost hysteric antagonism towards the gold standard, it's one issue which unites the statistics of all pursuants. They seem to sense perhaps more clearly and subtly than many. Move this down. Hold on a second. Consistent defenders of the Liz Fair, and what Liz Fair is? Liz Fair is a Liz Fair is a French word for meaning where you want to have less government influence in your daily lives. That gold and economic freedom are inseparable. That gold standard is an instrument of Liz Fair. And that each implies and requires the other. He's absolutely right. Liz Fair needs the gold standard, and the gold standard needs Liz Fair. In order to understand the source of this antagonism, it is necessary first to understand the specific role of gold in a free society. Money is a common denominator of all economic transactions. It is that commodities which serve as a medium of exchange. It is that commodity that which serves as a medium of exchange is universally accepted to all participants in exchange for economic as payment for goods or services, and can therefore be used as a standard of market value and as a store of value, i.e. meaning savings. Let me hit you with what Greenspan said one more time. Here's, and it's so powerful. Money is the common denominator. Let me stop right with money is the common denominator for all economic transactions. Let me stop right there. Most people, when they hear that, they think when Alan Greenspan said money, they thought right away, what did they think, Keith? A piece of paper, a dollar. Alan Greenspan wasn't talking about a piece of paper. Alan Greenspan was talking about what he talked about at the Banking Commission, those assets, those resources that you need to have so that you can have a measure of wealth going forward and that you can use as a measure of consumption to sustain you. It is not a dollar bill. He's talking about something that has intrinsic value. It goes on. Money is the common denominator. I'm going to replace the word money with gold and silver. Gold and silver is the common denominator for all economic transactions. It is that commodity which serves as a medium of exchange. Is universally accepted to all participants. There's not one place in this world that you can't go that they won't accept silver and gold. But if you try to take your dollar bill somewhere, guess what they're going to say? We don't take that no more. In exchange, universally accepted.
We lost Dave again. I don't know why he's having this issue today. But I'm sure he will be calling back in. Let me see. I think we missed our last break, so I'm going to go. No, we took our last break. Give me a second as I try to get Dave back on the board.
Dave. Well, you know, this show is important because we keep getting cut off. Never had this, but that's all right. We're going to keep going. Here it is. Is acceptable to all participants in exchange, in exchange economic as payment for goods and services. What is he talking about, goods and services? What services is he talking about? Your labor, your energy, what goods? Whatever it is that you're, if you're selling your home, you shouldn't be exchanging your home for a piece of paper. You should be exchanging your home for another asset value form of money. Something, you can't exchange your worthlessness for, or your priceless for worthless. You have to exchange something of value for something of value again. Case in point, this is why you've seen all those cash for gold places all over the place in 2000 to 2009, because they were telling people, bring us your priceless gold and silver and we'll give you your worthless piece of paper. That's a good. You can't exchange a good for something that's no good. You can't exchange value for worthlessness. We have to stop being price sensitive and being aware of value. Until we become aware of value, we continue to be price sensitive, you will continue to be a debt slave. It goes on. And can therefore be used as a standard of market value, the word value again, and a store of value, the word value again, i.e. the meanings of savings, meaning that you should only save in silver and gold. Here's in the last paragraph, he sums it up very well, and I'm going to want to put this in. Here's what it says. In the absence of a gold and silver standard, he said, Alan Greenspan is wise enough not to put the word silver in any of this stuff, because he knew it would do to him if he put the word gold or silver in. They'll kill him. So he puts gold in. I put silver in. In the absence of the silver and gold standard, because silver is more valuable than gold, there is no way to protect savings from confiscation through inflation. Did you hear that saying? Let me just see. We got a couple of callers. Hold on, callers. I'll go to you real quick. Let me mute you real quick. I'll come back to you. 1 second. Guess you can't turn it off. I'll keep.
That's because it doesn't go with this sound.
Okay, here we go. Listen to this. In the absence of the gold standard, there is no way to protect savings from confiscation through inflation. What shows you that? We just showed you that with the CPI from the BIS, from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, from BLS. I showed you that. See, inflation takes away it takes away the value of your money, because you can't give, once you give your energy to something, if you're not getting something in exchange that has the same value of it, you've lost, they won. So inflation is killing you. There is no, I'm going to come to you in 1 sec, Keith. There is no safe store of value. If there were, the government would have to make its holding legal. I mean, it's holding it illegal, as what was done for the case of gold. If everyone decided, for example, to convert all of his or her bank deposits into silver or copper or other goods, and therefore declined to accept checks as payment for goods, bank deposits would lose their purchasing power, and the government created banking credit. And the government created banking credit would be worthless as a claim of good. What is he talking about? Your FICO score, your credit score, your overall bank account. All of that will go away, because why? You have real money now. You don't need artificial inflation. The financial policy of the welfare state requires that there be no way for the owners of wealth to protect themselves. He used the word owner right there purposely, because when you own something, that means that you are what? Held by debt to it. You are held by debt to it. Owners are in debt. Every owner is in debt. Every controller is in a position of advantage for prosperity. Because the debt is paid by the owner. The controller never is in debt. They have owners for that. Very powerful.
I think what would have been interesting was going back earlier in your conversation today when you were talking about the rate of return for the equal amount of dollars in times past and present. I think what would have been really interesting is if we would have been able to break that down into the de-escalation in the value of the dollar between the 1913 that you started and the 1971 in which
the rate of
the rate of and then see how much more it escalated
as we go to now
to 71
part two. We'll do that, Chief, because that's, I think that's very, very important, because we can see that rate of, because Scotty had alluded to that when he said, I want to put in one trillion. Right, because that's what he was showing, is the rate of X, and we're going to definitely take a look at that. We got a caller in Charlotte. Let me unmute this plate, person. There was a caller out of Charlotte. Welcome, caller out of North Carolina. You had a question or comment that you wanted to make. I had to put you on mute just because of the background noise. What's your question or comment?
Dave, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, thank you. This is Roger out of Charlotte, man. I had one question talking about the currency. Now, can you kind of give me an idea of what digital currency is going to fit in with this, or is that just as worthless as the paper itself?
Great, great question, Roger. Good hearing from you, brother, out of Charlotte. Okay. Digital currency, they tell you right there what it is. Currency. All currency is nothing that you should ever save in. What you should use in currency as far as paper currency or digital currency, you use it as a tool to acquire an asset that won't depreciate in value, that will still store, will be a store of value. So you should be using your digital currency only for the means and methods of creating momentum to acquire more assets, not as a measure of savings, because you can't save in currency. Inflation is the tax that kills you. Very,
okay.
Very important.
Great
question, Roger.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate that, because I was just looking at what's going on with digital currency right now, and of course, it's, I don't know if it's an enemy of the dollar or the next phase. You know, I've invested some, but I've not been sold, you know, completely on digital currency. Still playing that role, but, you know, I don't know if it's still out there, you know, will it be the next thing? Of course, we all know the Bitcoin story and all that, but I'm just, just looking at how that's being played out right now, because I think the government is really trying to downplay it and kept it still, you know, it's not been blowing up in so many ways, you know, but I think it's worldwide though. But I haven't had the United States jump on it and believe in it. So that was just my question to you, man. I appreciate it, bro.
Yeah, great question. They're one and the same, and they were created by the same individuals. But Keith wanted to jump
in. What's one and the same, Dave?
All forms of digital currency in your currency in your pocket is one and the same, and was created by the same individuals.
Yeah, and that was the point that I was going to make, because you have to look at it in perspective. Because the American dollar, is that me?
No, keep it. Okay.
Because the American dollar is, like you said, is one and the same, but it isn't one and the same, but it kind of is, because they're interchangeable. And so we say that we have dollars in our pockets. So like cyber currency, like with the Bitcoins and all that, that's all digital.
Mm-hmm.
There is no representation for any of that. But the dollar started out as a dollar, as a currency. But it's also cyber now, because for the most part, they turned into a system in which we run everything off of credit, so those dollars don't even exist for what we represent.
Exactly, Keith, and that was, well, the way you put it together was well stated and true. here's what's also significant. I think we need, I never use the word dollar, because the word dollar is misleading. The word dollar means money. The word dollar is Latin for silver. That's what it means. So whenever we talk about the U.S. currency, right, it's not a form of dollar. It's an imitation dollar. It's a fake dollar. See, when you're hungry, do you want a pitcher of food or do you need the real substance of food? A pitcher won't do, okay? So a U.S. Federal Reserve note is a imitation picture of real money, but it's not it. The word dollar is Latin for silver. So whenever someone asks you for a dollar, you give someone a dollar, if they ask you for a dollar, you give them a piece of paper, they should drop it on the floor because you're not giving them a dollar. If you're not putting silver in my hand, if I ask you for a dollar, you haven't given me a dollar. That's the trick. And then the overall, you know, the symbol for USD, the S with the lions through it, that's the marking for silver. They tell us everything is all right in front of us. It's all right in front of us. So the only monetary, real monetary money in the world is an asset that has intrinsic value and it can store value. It has to be what? A living entity. Human resources. This is why many people's jobs have human resources, because human people are what? Resources. They're a form of money. So we'll get part two. We'll get part two. Someone wanted to chime in?
There's a window expectancy right now in silver. If you have the resources, buy silver. Because in reality, I would not expect. But we.
Wow, Brother. Yeah, Brother Davis, your connection was hold on to that, Brother Davis. If you can, tomorrow, if you have a better reception, definitely give us a call. Because I wanted you to make that point. We couldn't hear it at all. So, all right, everyone, we're getting ready to get out of here. So I just want to say this. You know, I appreciate the overall steadfastness and the commitment that Dr. King had committed to, not for himself, but of us all. And the people movement must be based off of fiscal soundness. And we have to be based off of fiscal soundness. And fiscal soundness means that we have to first understand the difference between currency and money, so that currency can't be used as an imitation of money to subjugate and control us and enslave us. Where you will get your overall bill of rights, but you will walk away from willingly your inalienable rights, your primary rights, your absolutely rights that can't be penned by man, was already given to you as a gift by the great creator. We have to appreciate value and diminish our price sensitivity. Very, very important. So, we just want to thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show today. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid.